Do you hate Valentine's Day? Do you feel like it's a heck of a lot of pressure to pull out the greatest romantic experience possible and to do a better job than Hollywood? In all those movies written by people who haven't been out of the house for like 5 years and don't even have a love life, they write those romantic movies. They do a darn good job, and it's not real. Welcome to, yes, this Valentine's Day edition of Sex, Love, and Elephants, coming to you just a couple days before the Hallmark holiday of February 14th. Yes, there's some history. St. Valentine's Day Massacre, not a very romantic event. There's Cupids, there's very bad chocolate. Do not buy it at your corner grocery store in a heart-shaped box. If you're going to get some chocolate, get some good stuff, just saying. But let's talk about a way to celebrate Valentine's Day this year that's a little out of the box and that honors the true meaning of Valentine's Day. Let's take it away from the fact that it's a commercialized holiday kind of manufactured by the marketing industry and take that aside. And here is how I teach the couples I work with and my own spouse and I to work with the idea of Valentine's Day, which is quite simply, it's a great excuse to do something warm and wonderful, sexy or romantic, meaningful or thoughtful for your special person. If you're in a dating relationship, if you're in a committed relationship, if there's someone you just think is really swell, if you're currently single by choice or circumstance, you can apply some of these techniques to a good friend or someone you know who could use their week lit up. But I'm going to focus in my languaging today for those of us in some variation of a romantic relationship with another person. And here you go. First things first, I'm not going to tell you to do the typical cliche things. Well, for one thing, you'll be hearing this on February 12th, and all the nice restaurants that have cool Valentine's Day three-course meals with a special romantic dessert and a complimentary glass of champagne have been booked for months, so you missed the boat on that one. No big deal. It's only a day. But what I teach the couples I work with and all of you listening is utilize this as a great reminder to do what I call making love intentional. It's one of the premier phrases or slogans or teaching points I use in my Become Passion program, which I run once or twice a year. Many of you are on the wait list for the next one, which is going to kick off in May 2024. And that's where I work with you and your spouse for 12 weeks to take a deep dive into your relationship. And one of the phrases I introduce and reintroduce, and I want it to become a mantra for your relationship really, is to make love intentional. And it means basically what it sounds like. Pay attention. Make effort, plan things, make your relationship important again. Now, I use the word again here very deliberately because almost all of us were really good at this, or at least better than we are now when we were dating. When we were dating, we went to some extremes to catch the attention of the object of our affection. Hopefully that person is woken up next to you this morning after a year or 10 years or maybe 50 years. But when you were trying to impress them, trying to win their heart, wooing them, courting them, hoping to get them into bed, hoping to maybe make babies with them one day, you made effort. You made love intentional. Almost all of you did. Now, your partner may have been better at that than you, or you might have been the one who was more the planner, the organizer. But oh my goodness, our first Valentine's together, my husband, we've been together 10 and a half years now, married just over 5 and a half. Our first Valentine's together, let's see, our first date was in August. So Valentine's, we'd been together 5, 6 months. And we decided to celebrate it in some way. We didn't tell each other what we were going to do. Now, he had to work a long shift that day. So I don't think he spent the night before. We lived apart in two different places, about an hour apart in our first 2 years together. And he texted me at some point Valentine's morning and he said, go into the spare room and over by the bookshelf, there was some directions, I don't quite remember. And you're going to find a little paper bag, look inside. Well, how intriguing is that? Consider me intrigued. So I went and found the little paper bag as per the kind of, I guess, scavenger hunt instruction. Inside the paper bag was another clue somewhere in the house that led me to, with a third clue, to a little wrapped box. And what was in there was a pair of moonstone earrings. Now, if you see this on video, I'm wearing a moonstone pendant around my neck. There's reasons for that. It's the symbolic stone for the White Tara Tibetan Buddhism practice, which is one of the practices I do a great deal. So moonstones matter to me. They're a favored stone. And what he had done, he'd gone to a make-your-own jewelry kind of studio You didn't need any particular skill, but you'd go and you'd pick the posts and you'd pick the design of the silver and you'd pick the stone and you'd assemble them. And he'd never done anything like that in his life before. And he'd gone to one of these do-it-yourself, make a bit of jewelry, I guess, stores or commercial enterprises. And he'd made me a pair of moonstone earrings with this really cool swirly silver thing that went in your ear instead of a traditional post. I was absolutely so moved, so touched. It was so thoughtful. It was so romantic. And it just lit me up. What I did for him that year, and he's someone unlike me who's not very comfortable in the spotlight or public eyes, a little more behind the scenes guy, a little more low key. And at that time, he was managing a retail enterprise. And what I did was I ordered roses, I think three roses in a vase to be delivered to his office along with a stuffed animal. He still has it downstairs. And the stuffed animal was a stuffed monkey around, I don't know, 8-10 inches high, and it clapped cymbals, and the pre-recorded song came on. What I like about you, you keep me warm at night, and that was the song. So there he is in the retail, and his co-manager's there, and it's not a huge space, and so a delivery person walks in on Valentine's Day midday with a thing of roses and a stuffed animal attached to it, and of course, oops, his female boss thought it was from her not very romantic guy, and she was so excited, and then the guy said, I'm looking for John, not his real name, my hubby. So she was kind of crestfallen. So we felt a bit bad about that. But here he is, the guy who doesn't like the attention. And of course, the person puts down these roses and he presses the button on the maniacal monkey that sings the song. The moral of the story is this. That was 10 Valentines ago. And in the last few Valentines, we've been pretty lame. So my teaching point is very simple, right? Make love intentional. You were probably, not necessarily Valentine's Day, I don't know, but in general, when you were dating, courting, and trying to win over your partner, you probably made more effort. You planned dates, you did things to romance them, to surprise them, to light them up. And it's one of the things my hubby and I and all the couples I work with really focus on in the work we do, which is taking reasons, excuses, or reminders like a Hallmark holiday like Valentine's as a reason to go, yeah, Valentine's, Smalentine's, but I'm going to use mid-February as a reminder because it's all around me in the media and social media to do something special for you. So that brings me to my three tips today for how to have an out-of-the-box Valentine's that really can honor and cherish the relationship you have, even if you feel your partner may roll their eyes, that's on them. You can ask them to listen to this podcast after you treat them to a romantic surprise, and maybe they'll get with the program. Even if you're in a really good relationship, you're happy, you love each other, you have good communication skills, you have nice vacations together, things are pretty darn good. How are you doing in what I call thrill? How are you doing at creating romantic thrill the way you used to when you were dating? Okay, here's your three things. The first one, write a love letter. Uh-huh. I said it. I mean it. And I want you to do it. Write your partner a love letter. You do not have to be Shakespeare or Margaret Atwood, but all of you, even if you're severely dyslexic, even if putting your thoughts into words is something that is not easy for you, it is astounding what you can come up with to say in your own words when you put your mind to it. Now, I suggest if you're willing that you do this old pen and paper style. There's reasons for that neurophysiologically when we write, when we handwrite. It does different connection things to our neurophysiology and our emotions, but that's not super important. If you're much, much more comfortable at your keyboard, go ahead and do this at your keyboard. But the instruction is pretty simple. I almost don't need to say any more, but I probably will because I'm a coach. I'm a psychologist. I'm a behavior change specialist. I want you to really get this. Write your partner a love letter and make it longer than half a page. And simply say, honey, I love you. Here are some of the things that I love about you, or some of the memories I have of favored times together are, or I'm so grateful you're in our life, despite the ups and downs we've been through and how tough it is sometimes. Here is why I love you. Or any free form that comes to you is absolutely brilliant. But the point is to write a love letter to your sweetheart. And you can join me in that challenge. Even if you're hearing this on February 12th when it's released, you've still got 48 hours to write a love letter. Skip your Netflix tonight. Skip your usual thing that you'd spend an hour, half an hour, 2 hours on, your social media, your Facebook, your etc. Don't skip the things that really, really matter, but skip something that's optional. And instead say, hey, babe, I've got a little secret surprise I'm working on, and slip away and spend an hour or two or half an hour writing a love letter. And then if you're doing it digitally, obviously print it out. If it's handwritten, try to make it legible. I have terrible handwriting. I have to really make sure it can be read by my recipient. And then on Valentine's Day, or whenever you get this, if you're listening to this on February 16th, watch out for this stinking thinking. Oh, I missed it. Oh, well. What? That is such a BS story. Remember, February 14th isn't the point. It's just a reminder to do something meaningful, kind, and loving for your sweetheart. So when would now be a good time? As Tony Robbins says, one of my favorite quotes of his, I had the pleasure to teach at a huge event. Tony put on 600 people, all focused on love, sex, and relationships, and he flew me out to be one of his guest speakers. It was a delight. When would now be a good time? Literally, don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Don't mean to get to it, but I got busy. Sit your butt down, maybe with a nice cup of tea or a nice glass of wine or gorgeous sparkly kombucha, and write your sweetheart a love letter. Join me. I'm going to be doing this with my husband. We've talked about it. We're each going to be writing a love letter in the next 48 hours, and we'll be sharing them with each other on February 14th. The date doesn't matter. Don't let that become a way you make excuses to stop making love intentional. That's your first tip, write a love letter. Your second tip for an out-of-the-box Valentine's Day, and I love this one. I was asked to write an article for Unusual Holiday Date Nights once for AARP magazine or somewhere like that. And this is what I came up with that time, and I've modified it for Valentine's Day. I want you to plan and execute a pay-it-forward romantic date. What does that mean, Dr. Cheryl? I'm so glad you asked. A pay-it-forward Valentine's date is the following. Especially for those of us who are maybe of a certain age, it's been a while since we fell in love with our sweetheart, or it's been a while since we had those really early days of young love. Maybe that's in your teens, maybe that's in your early 20s. But the pay it forward date is, I want you to identify a couple in your circle. It might be family members, might be friends, might be distant friends, might be the niece and nephew of a good friend of yours who've just got married or just gotten engaged, or a young couple at the office, maybe one of them's the receptionist at your office, and he's going to night school trying to get his degree, and you know his partner, he's doing something else, and that they don't have a lot of money, they're pretty frugal, but they're really in love, they've been together a year or two. Any couple, they do not have to be young, but for a lot of us, it might be a young couple for the following reason. And I want you to gift them a pay it forward date. So for example, one that would come to mind for me is my niece, who's about 20, and she's studying in a semester abroad right now in Amsterdam. And she's in a new relationship of about 3 or 4 months with a fellow from, is it Estonia? Anyway, they're hot and heavy. They're really enjoying each other, but they're both students. They don't have a lot of money. So my pay it forward date, and I wasn't actually going to do this challenge with you, but I just realized I am. I'm going to send my niece, her name is Morgan. I'm going to send her a couple of hundred euros over the internet banking and say, this is a Valentine's date for you, and his name shall remain anonymous. I don't have permission to use his name yet. And my pay it forward date will be, here's 200 euros. I want you to go on an extravagant date with your sweetheart that you cannot afford out of your own funds. I want you to use this money only to treat your sweetheart right, whether that's a wonderful, fantastic meal, whether you take them, I don't know, for a day's skiing and finish off sipping champagne in a hot tub. Maybe I need to send more than 200 euros. But I want you to splash out every penny of this gift money on a romantic date with your sweetheart, something you cannot afford and would not be able to or choose to spend the money on at this time in your life. And the only caveat is, down the road, when you're established and you've got a bit of extra money, I want you to pay that date forward to another young couple or struggling couple. By the way, this might be your grandparents. It doesn't have to be a young couple. Your grandparents who are on a pension. My grandparents had an incredible love story that lasted more than 60 years. You might make a reservation at a restaurant for your grandparents, arrange a car, maybe you, to pick them up and deliver them there. You know, tell them, because if they're frugal grandparents, you might have to really pressure them and say, look, I've got this gift certificate. You need to use it all up because anything you don't use will go to waste. You can be a little tricky. And treat your grandparents to a romantic date or a weekend away or an overnight at a hotel. You get the picture. So the second way to celebrate this particular fake holiday of Valentine's is to get out of your own way, your own maybe cynicism or curmudgeonly behavior or thinking that the whole thing's a big marketing racket, which it kind of is, and turn it into something meaningful, generous, and beautiful. by creating a pay it forward date for a young or not so young couple, you know, who aren't in a position to be able to do this for themselves. Now, we would love to hear about that. Please send any photos or a description of the date that you paid it forward and how it went to hello@drcherylfraser.com. And we'll pick a few lucky winners and we'll send you a card set, a beautiful set of cards designed by my coworker with various slogans on them, like make love intentional, which you can write next year's love letters in, by the way. Okay. So your third out-of-the-box way to celebrate Valentine's Day, according to Dr. Cheryl Fraser in Sex, Love, and Elephants, is celebrate Valentine's in July. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, again, you're hearing this about 2 days before February 14th. That ship has kind of sailed, no big deal. But use this week as a time to secretly, if you like, or you can confer with your partner if you need to for work schedules or childcare schedules or practical things like that. And I want you to plan a romantic evening, overnight or weekend, depending what your timing and budget allows, in July. Caveat, no, of course, it doesn't have to be in July. It can be any month you want in the next year. But the idea is plan it now. Choose it now. Once you've done the research, one great way to research in your hometown, if you want it to be drivable distance, is romantic getaways near, I don't know, Vancouver, BC, romantic getaways near Charlotte, North Carolina, and find something. Often you can find the most romantic Airbnbs if you search that way, et cetera, et cetera. But the idea is to plan and book it now. Put your deposit down so the two of you can arrange your work schedules, your childcare schedules, your life schedules around this special day. And I want you to call it Valentine's in July or June or October, because it's a way of making love intentional. It's a way of letting your sweetheart know that this is a Valentine's Day celebration, celebrating your love and romance, because Valentine's is all about love and romance, something we're crap at in this culture, something you're probably crap at these days, unless you're newly in love or you're one of the minority of people, maybe 5 to 15% at most of adults, who are naturally geared towards romance, who are naturally geared toward lighting your partner up in this special way, this intentional way. By the way, those of you who aren't naturally geared that way, you may do many other wonderful things for your partner. I'm not dissing you at all. I'm just saying, according to research, relationship happiness is predicted by this sort of making love intentional. The model I teach in my 12-week Become Passion program is based on the Passion Triangle. Regular listeners have heard about this before, but very briefly for today, that is the three main keys to wonderful, romantic, passionate, long-term relationship. One of them I call intimacy, which is communication, trust, deep conversations, being able to manage conflict well, being able to handle the tough stuff together. The second one I call thrill, which is this: making love intentional, planning romantic dates, valuing and cherishing your special person, not taking them for granted, at least not taking them for granted all the time, and really investing time, energy, and intentionality. I'm going to keep using that word in making your relationship special, connected, and filled with love. And the third key to a great relationship is your sensual life. It might only be an hour a week or an hour a month, but your sensual and erotic and sexual life, including those of you who are currently not sexual at all, about 30% of couples in long-term relationship are not making love at all. About 40% of the couples that join Become Passion, that's one of the things they want to work on, is to become more sensual over time. But to recap, the three keys to passion as I teach them, this is the Dr. Cheryl Fraser Become Passion model, are intimacy, thrill, and sensuality. Today, we're using the excuse, the convenient cultural excuse, at least in North America, of Valentine's Day as a reason to think out of the box, to make love intentional, and to write your sweetheart a love letter, create a pay it forward date. My niece is going to freak out when I email her this information a little later, and to plan Valentine's in July or whenever you want in the next year. But plan it now, book it now, and then let us know. Let us know how any of these three challenges go. Email hello@drcherylfraser.com. We will pick a couple of winners and send you a great prize. All right, that brings us to today's Love Bite. Valentine, oh Valentine, will you be my Valentine? Chuck aside all your biases about a manufactured holiday and make love intentional on and around February 14th and every day for the rest of your love life. We'll be back with you next week with more top three tips. For now, I remain Dr. Cheryl Fraser, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Sex, Love, and Elephants. But most of all, thank you for being part of this herd. If you enjoyed listening, please share this with a friend. And if you haven't already, I would love, love, love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review the show on your podcast player, because it really helps all the other elephants find us. If you have any questions or comments or maybe an idea for the show, or you'd like to be a guest, reach out to me directly at drcherylfraser.com, where you can also sign up for weekly Love Bites, science-based tips for creating love and passion that last a lifetime.